I'm going to be talking to Paul Gibson Roy. He's from the Australian Network for Plant Conservation, and there's been a national seed survey and a Healthy Seeds project, and it gives us a national snapshot of seeds and what they mean. So let me speak to Paul. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, David.
Okay,
thank you very much for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself first before we go on to the survey?
Okay, thanks. Well, look, yeah, I've been involved with native plants for probably about 20 years now. Firstly in Victoria and now in New South Wales, and I've been particularly focused. I did a PhD in Melbourne Uni, and I'm really focused on trying to restore areas in Australia where, you know, a lot of our lovely native vegetation has been removed or replaced by, you know, development or agriculture or other methods, and really just trying to reconstitute those sort of plant communities that, you know, when the first settlers, for example, came and sort of moved over the, you know, the mountains and were wandering at these, you know, sort of vast paddocks of trees and lovely grasses and wildflowers. So most of those, sadly, are are almost gone. And so people like myself have been trying to find ways to put them back.
So do we have sort of deposits of seeds, of rare seeds, that are kept for special events, so to speak, or special plantings? Is there a repository of very valuable seeds?
There is, and there are two very good resources in Australia. One here is in Western Sydney at Plant Bank at the at Mount Annan Botanic Gardens, and the other one is over in the major one. You get minor ones at most of the big botanic gardens, but at King's Park in Western Australia in Perth. And their repositories of small amounts of seed from a lot of species, their collections are really just trying to sort of store those seeds for long periods in case some dramatic event happens and the populations disappear. So they're certainly a valuable resource, but the quantities of seed that are stored in those sites aren't very large and wouldn't be enough to, you know, restore populations by seeding or planting. So what a lot of people are very interested in these days, and certainly a lot of people involved with the Australian Network for Plant Conservation, is how do we set up seed banks that grow seed and store seed for restoration, so that people doing land care or community groups or farmers can actually access enough seed to go back out into a paddock or a roadside and actually start to rehabilitate that landscape. So they're slightly different sort of approaches.
All right. So are there any particular sorts of seeds that are need to be sort of planted more than others? Is there one you'd be focused on, or a few you'd focus on?
Look, that's a fair question. Look, for a long time with restoration, and particularly just in general, people tend to focus their attention on trees. So for a long time, we've done fairly well at planting trees. A lot of our big restoration programs across Sydney and even across the country are focused on trees. The last big one was called 20 Million Trees. Bob Hawke had earlier versions of this. So for many of the tree species, we're doing quite well. We can collect and store the seed, and we can grow plants or seed. But most of the diversity, most of the biodiversity, when you're looking at a piece of bushland or a grassland or a grassy woodland, is in the lower areas, you know, beneath the trees. And that's where we're really struggling to get the seed of those species, because they've been highly impacted by human activity.
It's just grasslands, is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, grasslands and grassy woodlands. So often when you look at for example, if you look at Hyde Park or something like that, where you've got these lovely big, scenarios where you've just got trees dotted here and there, but most of the area is open and you've got a sort of a grassy understory. And what you often get in a native setting, sadly we don't have them very often these days, is just wonderful amounts of wildflowers and lilies and things like that in among the grasses. So these things were once widespread right across Australia, and Aboriginal people managed them and cultivated them for a whole range of purposes. But these have been severely impacted by European agriculture and later development. So again, the ANPC is very focused, and the seed survey was trying to find out, well, how can we get the seed of these species back in the quantities that we need it, and how can we work with it to put it back into the landscape? Whether that's in, urban areas in Sydney, in coastal areas out to the west of Sydney, or in our agricultural regions.
Well, how can you do that?
Well, we do know it's feasible. So that's, I guess, the nice take-home message for this. People like myself and many other really committed people have been working at small scales for years to try and figure out how we can grow these plants to produce seed, essentially like horticulture or even small-scale farming, and then how can we work with agricultural or horticultural machinery to put back complex mixes of species back into a paddock or a roadside or a reserve. And at small scale, it's been successful, and we're really buoyed by that. But the thing that really sort of limits us doing it at larger scales and in more settings is we don't have enough seed. And so, again, our seed survey sought to sort of find out, well, who is collecting seed? How much are people collecting? Who's demanding seed? And what are the constraints for us to be doing it at larger scales? Because in other countries, particularly in some parts of Europe and certainly North America, they have systems and markets set up where, people set up very large-scale farms, thousands of hectares, and produce native seed that goes back into restoration programs on farms and on roadsides and in cities. So we're trying to say, well, how can we take Australia down that path? Because if we don't, we certainly don't have enough seed to do to deal with all the threat that there is there to our native plants, and by virtue of our plants, all our lovely native animals and fauna.
Okay, you can't have one without the other, really. What you're talking about,
absolutely,
really, is you need government to do this, don't you? State and federal, is that right? That's
well,
what you really
certainly
need.
That's one of the things, David, that we found from the sector, is that our sector survey is that the government agencies are the big purchaser or demander of native seed. But when we looked at the quantities of seed being collected and purchased through those agencies, relatively speaking, the amounts weren't large when you looked at all the impact that is going on in Australia and the amount of seed that we need to restore landscape scales. We're just not achieving that. And in other parts of the world, and again, I'll just use America as an example, there are government programs that create incentives for farmers and road managers, the people who manage the roads, for example, around Sydney. There are incentive programs for them to use native seed, and that creates a market for the use of it, so then people go out and set up farms to grow it and employ people to put it in. So what we've found is that we really are struggling to develop a market that will help us to secure the seed and then by virtue of that undertake the restoration. And again, all our bushfires recently sort of just exacerbate that sort of impact.
Yeah, I'll come to that in a second. You mentioned roads. It's always struck me that the roads and maritime services do a pretty good job in landscaping after they put a road through. They seem to do it well.
Look, I think generally speaking, that's a fair comment. But if you look at the scale of roads, and there are tens of thousands of kilometres, for example, across New South Wales and probably even within Sydney, the bulk of the plants that are planted on them are again shrubs, just to create those sort of barriers in there. But a lot of that ground layer vegetation, the grasses that go in, are it's often exotic grasses. So there is scope there to put, you know, in rare and lovely native grasses along huge tracts of our roadsides. And more than that, and particularly what they do in America, is that they plant their lovely wildflowers down the middle of their roads and on road edges and things like that. And again, if we had a more of an incentive for people like RMF to use native wildflowers and grasses along all our roadsides, that's a way to bring some of our lovely local biodiversity back into intimate association with our urban areas and our country roads. Whereas up until now, most of it is, other than the native shrubs and things, just exotic or weedy vegetation.
Okay, I'm surprised, because it looks, to a layman, what they do, it looks quite good, but obviously they should be planting natives.
Well, as I said, there is some, attempt to do that, but going on what is done in other parts of the world, much more could be done. And something like that alone, if RMS in New South Wales, said, okay, we now have a policy of using, native grasses and wildflowers wherever we can, that would be a huge outcome, both for the sector, but in terms of biodiversity. If you could imagine having from, Sydney to Albury, or Sydney up to, Brunswick Heads or something, our Pacific Highway filled with, kangaroo grass and wallaby grass and all our lovely chocolate lilies, that would just be a profound impact for biodiversity, and it would look beautiful as well. So they're the sort of things that we're really aiming to sort of push towards in the coming decades.
Okay, do you lobby government at all on this? I mean, it seems to me that...
Look, we do, and that's where the AMPC is very important. It's a network that brings all the people like myself and others, anyone who's interested in native plants and animals. It's a network of researchers, practitioners, people in agencies, land care, and we try and bring them all together to sort of spread the information about this. But we do try, where we can, to lobby government and government agencies. And to be honest, progress has been slow. There is a long way to go. When the federal government assesses the state of biodiversity in the country, which it does periodically, sadly, what we're tending to find is that even though we're spending a lot of money on it, in many key areas, we're just not achieving what we hope to do. And that is, again, in our urban areas and in all these vast tracts of agricultural land. So there's a lot to be done. And I think people like us in the AMPC, and if your listeners are interested, I urge them just to punch Australian Network for Plant Conservation into their browser, and you'll find all the sorts of information that we do and offer. That people like us are really trying to change the government's thinking about what we've been doing in the past to what we should be probably doing in the future, and using, those examples from America and Europe, for example, as sort of templates for us to find our Australian version.
Okay, one final question, Paul.
Okay.
I mean, the recent summer fires must have played havoc with all of this.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've got a lot of work to make up there, don't you?
Well, look, it's a very complicated scenario. I mean, those fires took place in, right down our Great Dividing Range, by and large. It certainly happened in other areas, but the bulk of it was in these, very thickly forested areas. Now, depending on the fire frequency and the past and the fire intensity, a lot of those areas will regenerate. Now, there's been profound impacts on animals, absolutely no doubt about it. But some of that flora has developed a coping mechanism to regenerate from fires, and certainly seed banks in the soil to regenerate. But there are other areas within that have been burnt too frequently over past decades, and those sort of that capacity, that resilience has been worn down. So in those areas, yes, absolutely, we need additional seed resources above and beyond all the seed resources that we need for the degraded areas to go back into these, wonderful areas of native vegetation to make sure that they're not lost.
Are you optimistic that we can do all this?
I've always been a glass half full sort of person. I guess, at times I get down in the dumps that we haven't made as much progress as I think we might have when I look at other countries. But I certainly know that there is enormous interest from the people in Australia, the people I come up against and others, that we want to do better. And I think, you know, if we do put our mind to it and create a positive will to say that, yes, this can be done, instead of saying it's too big a problem, then, look, I think whether it's myself or, you know, my grandchildren or their grandchildren, we can get there. But we've certainly got to make sure that we do not drop the ball, because if we do, these things do go into extinction. And once they go there, that's it.
Paul Gibson-Roy, I wish you all the best. Paul's from the Australian Network for Plant Conservation, if you want to look that up. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, David. Lovely to talk to you.
Bye-bye.